This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients every day here at the Hoffman Center. If you require a nutrition consult with me, but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.
Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Once again, we're back with more of our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions. Your questions come to us via radio program at AOL.com. That's the email address for questions that we will tackle during this podcast. We also have a weekend program, and you can call us live on our program from noon to 2 p.m. Also, if you go to our website at drhoffman.com, you can record a question. If you click on the bar on the right, that'll prompt you to record a question, which we'll answer during our live radio program, Saturdays from noon to 2 p.m. Eastern Time. So a lot of ways to get questions to us. We're delighted to be of service to the public. And, you know, it's kind of like batting practice, right? You know, it's like before a baseball game, you know, see like, the pitchers are, not the pitchers pitching the ball, but, you know, like an outfielder or a catcher throwing a high hanging curveball to a home run hitter and they see if they can hit it out of the park. It's just practice. So, what is anyone got a question for us this hour? I guess they,
yeah, we got an email from Lynn who says, my 88-year-old husband, who's quite fit and healthy for his age, was recently diagnosed with AFib.
Mm-hmm.
He's a former long-distance runner and marathoner.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
Yeah.
That is such a theme, I got to say. This whole thing with marathon runners, ultra endurance athletes, and later life onset of atrial fibrillation, it is very common, and it gives me pause in terms of my desire to do really, really heavy duty endurance training. I mean, I train, and I think I train hard, but by no means am I attempting to do marathons or Ironman triathlons. Because that sustained stress to the heart can cause heart damage. It also causes athletes to, you know, athletes have a very slow pulse. And what happens when your pulse slows down below, say, you know, 45 or so, is you get what's called an escape rhythm. It's like a part of the heart, the pacemaker part of the heart, senses that the heart's going too slowly and it wants to jump ahead. And that jumping ahead can sometimes result in a run of atrial tachycardia, or worse yet, atrial fibrillation. I hear this again and again.
Fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, and it, statistically, it's been shown that these athletes have a higher, I mean, they may have better circulation, they may have better musculature, they may have better brain power because of all the exercise they're doing, but they tend to get atrial fibrillation. Anyway.
So, Lynn's husband never had a heart problem, although aortic regurgitation was discovered 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm. So, well, that's really common. That's really common, and it's an aging valve, basically.
Yeah.
So,
And his ejection fraction is at 46%,
which is adequate, but it's a little less than optimal.
Yeah, he's 88. Okay,
that's phenomenal for 88. That's perfectly fine.
Yeah. He's taking magnesium taurate and CoQ10, but Lynn is very wary of the push by conventional medicine about taking something like Coumadin.
Yeah.
And she says, I understand the risk of stroke is only slightly reduced by their use, and they are rife with danger in and of themselves.
Right.
What say you,
no,
Dr.
that, I think that that's a really, you know, important question. And, you know, I have to say that let's even accept that premise, is that they are rife with danger, which we'll come back to, and that they reduce the incidence of stroke, but they don't eliminate the risk of stroke, so why take them? When you reduce slightly the risk of something very, very bad, it's worth doing. Okay. So, you know, whenever a fighter pilot goes up in a plane, there's a pretty low risk that that plane is going to crash. Really, I mean, you read about it from time to time. But what does that mean? Like 2-3 times a year, you hear about a, you know, military fighter jet going down. But that's why they have parachutes and that's why they have ejector seats. Because even though the risk is very, very small, they take measures of prevention. Okay? So I mean, I think statistically, when something is like a minor thing, like, okay, you have a slight risk of having, you know, nosebleed. Okay, well, that's not such a big deal. You know, put a little, you know, 4x4 up your nose and hold your head back. But if you have a risk of a stroke, which can deprive you of mobility and speech and maybe kill you, it's worth doing something.
Right. You know, we do have, you know, this is a common question that we're
getting
about.
It is very common. Very common.
You know, people being presented with, you have to take this kind of blood thinner like warfarin or Eliquis or what's the other one, Pradaxa, or things that can be a little bit scary, but you know, how do you weigh that out? He's already taking good nutraceuticals already.
Right. The other question, we get this question in a different form, which is like, okay, do I need to take a medication? Can I take things that's in the blood like fish oil? Or natto, you know, natto kinase, or high dose vitamin E, you know, what are some other blood thinners? Ginger, ginkgo biloba, blah, blah, blah. And the answer is they don't thin the blood reliably enough to prevent stroke. Aspirin, which is a blood thinner, doesn't thin the blood reliably enough to prevent stroke because, I mean, I've got several patients who I've seen who were on aspirin and they've still gotten strokes. So, you know.
Huh. So, Lynn, best of luck with your husband, but your husband should likely follow his doctor's advice.
Right. And given a choice between Coumadin and some of the newer medications, the Coumadin is inconvenient because you have to keep getting checked. It is involves some dietary restrictions, although not as draconian as they once taught you in, RD school. They said don't eat green leafy vegetables.
Here's the problem. So often when a patient is given a script for something like Coumadin, then they go see the nurse and the nurse just says, oh, don't eat green vegetables and sends them on their way.
Right.
That makes me want to pull my hair out.
Well,
it's a matter of getting a consistent amount of vitamin K every day. Mm-hmm. Not more, not less, a consistent amount, so that the medication can still work. And that means certain groups of vegetables, kale, spinach, broccoli, some of those, that you're going to eat a little less often than, or not have as many huge servings of as you once were, as compared to the other vegetables. That's
exactly.
Really all that
Be
means.
Consistent. And, you know, don't drink green tea because green tea has a vitamin K. But anyway, that's on Coumadin. With these newer medications like Pradaxa, they don't require that. There has been a concern that, you know, there's not a good way to antidote them. In other words, they thin the blood, but when patients have like a fall or they hit their head that the bleeding is hard to reverse, they're coming up with new antidotes to the bleeding that occurs with those medications that should be more widely available should trouble occur.
Oh, that's good.
So I think those medications I would now consider preferable to Coumadin for management of the blood thinning that's necessary with atrial fibrillation. And again, you know, why do you need blood thinning when you have atrial fibrillation? It's because when the heart beats normally, the fluid dynamics are such that the blood flows and doesn't pool and eddy around the valves of the heart. But when you have an irregular rhythm, it sets up turbulence. And with that turbulence, sometimes the platelets can begin sticking together and then form a blood clot. And then that blood clot is powerfully ejected upwards because that's where the aorta travels to the carotid arteries. And then you can get a little clot in one of your carotid arteries or in your middle cerebral artery, which is devastating. You know, can be a tiny clot the size of a pinhead, can, you know, take out your speech, take out your mobility. on one side of your body, make your face droop, you know, that whole thing.
Terrible stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Lynn, we hope that answers your question. Best of luck to your husband.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. May he forever be healthy and fit.
Yeah.
Okay.
That sounds like a song. For like forever young.
Yeah.
You know, forever young.
Right. Rod Stewart. That was good. Name that tune.
Right.
I'm going to try that again later.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Okay. We've got an email from Mike. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. Have you heard of the product Remag? It's a product by Dr. Carolyn Dean, who's an expert mm-hmm. on magnesium.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be a highly refined form of magnesium that's almost 100% absorbed by the body.
I've known Carolyn Dean for 25 years.
Yeah.
I first met her on the set of an FX show. It's called Breakfast Time. And we were, for a time, we were co-medical advisors to that show. And she's the magnesium lady. She was one of the first to really get on the magnesium bandwagon. And she's a good communicator. We should have her on at some point.
Oh, and by the way, and I'm just staring at it right here on my bookshelf here in my office. For anybody who's never read The Magnesium Miracle,
mm-hmm.
you now have homework.
Okay.
By Dr. Carolyn Dean. It's wonderful. And, you know, I took a look at this product on her website,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Hoffman. The Remag Minerals are created from a pure source of magnesium chloride, developed to deliver stabilized magnesium ions
mm-hmm.
that are similar in size to plant magnesium. Mm-hmm. So Remag is really a picometer ionic form of magnesium, and its direct and complete absorption into the cells mean that this product can bypass a leaky gut.
Okay.
And doesn't even reach the large intestine to cause diarrhea.
Okay.
So it's not going to have, which is interesting.
Yeah, I have to say, I don't have direct experience with that product.
But
she has a good reputation, and it's likely that that's beneficial. And, you know, you just give me an idea to tap her again as a guest. I interviewed her many years ago, and it's time to get her back on to talk about all the benefits of magnesium.
Yeah. It's interesting that she's actually using the magnesium and delivering them in stabilized magnesium ions. And
mm-hmm.
this reminds me of the blood test.
Well, sorry to cut you off, which I always do. I'm sorry. That's impolite.
Right.
But it just triggers the thought. Is there two schools of thought? Is that some people really like the chelated magnesium because they believe that the chelate helps to bring the magnesium where it needs to go. So magnesium glycinate, taurate, orotate, you know, these are mm-hmm. popular as well. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Ionized magnesium.
No. Ionized magnesium. It reminds me of the blood test.
Mm-hmm.
Which
is a good blood
test.
Yeah.
The most specific for... Mm-hmm. looking at magnesium levels in the blood.
Yeah.
Most people just get an RBC, a red blood cell magnesium, which really doesn't tell the whole story. Interesting. Anyway, so thank you, Mike, for your question. And all right. Maybe we're going to hear Dr. Dean on a podcast with Dr. Hoffman.
Yeah.
Terrific. All right. We've got a question from Leslie. Dr. Hoffman and Layla, I love your program. I never miss a show. I learn so much, and it benefits my whole family. Thank
Excellent.
You for what you do. It's so appreciated.
Great.
Thank you, Leslie. I'm building a home and trying to decide on a water filtration system. I don't want to bathe in chlorine anymore, let alone drinking it from the cap. And, you know, she brings up an interesting point. A lot of people are getting filtration systems in their kitchens, so they're not drinking chlorine. But the way we get the most chlorine, believe it or not, is in a hot shower. Because then we're actually inhaling the chlorine vapors.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you want a whole house filtration system. Dr. Hoffman, to my knowledge, the reverse osmosis system, I think, is still one of the best ones out there.
Mm-hmm. Is that something you're planning to install in your, you're actually constructing a home? Are you planning to put one of those in?
Yeah, yeah. We're getting ready to, and so far, as far as anything I'm reading, the reverse osmosis system is something that we want to do as mm-hmm. well. And yep. especially if, and we don't intend to use well water, although we have a well that's already existing. We want to check out the water and make sure, because the water out east can be, the well water anyway, can be very high in iron and manganese.
Okay.
Both can be toxic, as we know. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, but for chlorine, you know, even the pitcher systems, I believe, only take away or reduce the taste of chlorine in the water, but they don't really go as far as these reverse osmosis systems.
I think that's correct, and we can check the specs on the carbon block filters. I actually have one of those under sink model,
and
it doesn't take that much out.
Right, yeah. So, anyway, Leslie, best of luck. Yeah, as far as we know, that might be the best one, but there may be new ones on the horizon.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's see here. We've got an email from Larry. Larry writes, "Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, on a recent podcast on cognitive decline or neurological disorders, the guest kept mentioning the importance of acetylcholine.
Mm-hmm.
So do you actually recommend supplements for this?"
Yeah. Okay, acetylcholine is one of the main neurotransmitters in the brain, and its levels appear to decline with aging and with dementia and with cognitive decline. However, that's not the end-all and be-all of treatment for Alzheimer's, because there are conventional ways to boost acetylcholine, and they've only been of marginal efficacy in the treatment of Alzheimer's. There's a medication called Aricept, which remains actually one of the, it's been around for a while, and because of the lack of advances in the treatment of conventional advances in the treatment of Alzheimer's, Aricept is still a major medication, and it doesn't work that well. It's a central acetylcholinesterase inhibitor. So that's a fancy way of saying it inhibits the breakdown of acetylcholine. And so it boosts levels of acetylcholine. And if acetylcholine were the end all and be all of Alzheimer's, it would just work great and make you, so much smarter and enhance your memory, but it doesn't work that well. It works a little bit, and most doctors agree that it assists as sort of a temporary holding action against progressive Alzheimer's or dementia.
Yeah.
So, one can use choline, one can use phosphatidylserine. There may be additional benefits besides choline being a building block for acetylcholine. Choline and phosphatidylserine seem to help to fluidize the membrane, the cell membrane. So maybe that has some action in promoting neurotransmission, helping to facilitate communication from one neuron to another.
I imagine DHA is going to help.
Oh, yeah, DHA.
That membrane fluid, too.
From fish oil, absolutely. It fluidizes the cell membrane.
Yeah.
We also like, Propax with NT factor, which is a lipid replacement therapy. Many people treat chronic fatigue, and brain disorders are fans of NT factor, which is, they've been a sponsor forever on our program and continue to sponsor Intelligent Medicine. And, I was one of the first doctors to get really behind that. Back in the 90s, I think it was. So we still think that has a role to play.
Right. Larry is taking acetyl L-carnitine as opposed to lack of a better word, L-carnitine.
That's a good point. L-carnitine is an energizer. We know that it helps with mitochondrial function. But the question is, there's something called the blood-brain barrier. And that means that things, and this is in medicine too, sometimes we want things to work on the brain, but we give them by mouth and they don't get well absorbed into the central nervous system. So acetylation is a way to get something to cross the blood-brain barrier. So an example of acetylation is NAC, N-acetylcysteine. Mm-hmm. That helps to get a building block for glutathione across the blood-brain barrier, so it's good for the brain.
Yep.
Also, another thing that's acetylated is aspirin. It's acetylsalicylic acid, ASA. So that really cross, I mean, no question, aspirin crosses the blood-brain barrier. It thins the blood in the brain, you know, preventing strokes. And it also relieves pain and discomfort, you know, in a, on a central basis in the from the brain. So, you know, acetylation helps acetyl L-carnitine work. And there's actually some studies. I remember, this is interesting, I remember sharing a paper with my neurology professor in medical school. This was in in the 1980s about acetyl L-carnitine. He was a brilliant neurology professor. He went on to become the dean of Albert Einstein College of Medicine. And he showed like a faint interest in it, you know, because he's a wonderful guy and a great thinker, but because it came from the supplement side of things, he was, you know, he didn't jump on board. He just said, thank you very much. That's interesting. But as early as the late 80s, early 90s, there was research and a lot of papers on this.
Well, so the acetylation and crossing the blood-brain barrier, that's very interesting.
Yep.
And I would say to Larry, eat your egg yolks. You get choline there.
Indeed.
You get choline there. That's helpful.
Good. All right, so time flies when you're having fun. That's all the time we have for today's program on that note. A reminder to listeners, many of the supplements that we talk about, especially some of the more esoteric ones like Metasol, the circulatory enhancer that I talked about in a recent article for our newsletter, talking about cold hands and feet, that's available at drhoffman.com. So you can support your health in two ways. One, you'll get great supplements, great prices. And two, you'll help to support the dissemination of free information via this program by shopping at the Hoffman Center store. It's find it at drhoffman.com. Shop there for your supplement needs. And we thank you for listening. Thank you, Layla, for joining us.
Thanks, Dr. Hoffman. Thank you, everybody.
Have a great week. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.